Psalm 36, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. And so the heart of David to be a servant, and we know that that Jesus would come and say, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so David, considering the fact, you know, he's king, but he's still a servant, and he has that heart for the not only for God, but for God's people. And he dealt with many of the same frustrations we are, as we see what's going on in the world around us today. We live in a society just as David, you know, as I was praying, understand nothing's changed. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. We live in a woeful time today. Of relative morality that's challenging the church, that's being spoken of by, you know, just this neo-philosophy and this neo-psychology that is challenging the church, challenging you and I that desire to stand upon truth, God's truth, God, the morality that was handed down by God, not being defined or redefined by man and how man is choosing to live, what man says is right and wrong. And the thing is that a lot of this is coming from, you know, we all know right and wrong. And what David is going to talk about are those that choose wrong anyways, yet try and pass it off as what they're doing is morally right. It's basically the society we live in today and the culture that we live in today. And he says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. That word oracle can, you know, thus saith the Lord, God speaking to my heart, David saying, this is prophetic. God is revealing something to me that I want to share with you through, you know, and obviously these are praise and song, songs that David is writing down. Today, you know, we might even say this, I believe sometimes with the right heart, but it's an erroneous idea, it's kind of a worldly philosophy when we follow your heart. And, you know, knowing this, what does the Bible say about your heart? Your heart is evil and deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. You know, follow your conscience, or what is your conscience telling you? You know what your conscience is for? Your conscience is to tell you whether what you did was right. We don't follow our conscience. And those of us of the church, those born again of the Holy Spirit, we are to follow the Holy Spirit. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, that we might know the will of God. David talks a lot about that I might know your will, that I might do your will. We're going to see that in Psalm 37 that there are just instruction, encouragement in walking in and knowing God's will for our lives. But we can't do that according to our conscience or our heart, right? It's according to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we are doing what is right, our conscience will tell us. When we're not doing what we know is right, our conscience tells us those things, but we don't follow our conscience and we don't follow our heart. We seek the Lord and we commit ourselves to Him. So this idea that the oracle, God was speaking to David. David is saying, this is right from the Lord. He says, there is no fear of God before his eyes. So concerning the transgressions of the wicked or the wicked, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Now this is not only fear in reverence, but it also is speaking of there is no dread, you know, that idea, that fear, that real dreadful fear of judgment. What was the problem with the children of Israel? The prophets would come to them and say, you know, what you're doing is not right. Yet you sit there and say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We've got the temple. God isn't doing anything, and if he's not doing anything, then he must approve of how I'm living or what I'm doing. That's kind of what the attitude of the children of Israel are. There was no dread of judgment. There was no reverence of God and reverence of God's word. And so it's the same thing here. There's no fear. There's no dread of God before his eyes, because those that, you know, of the world, and certainly those that are challenging the church with, you know, if you don't accept how I've chosen to live, then you're a hater, you're not a lover, you know, that's not love, and all this other stuff, is they don't believe that there's a God, or that God's going to do anything, because they're getting away with, right? God has, oh, if there's really a God, then, you know, why hasn't he done something about it? It's kind of the attitude. The way that they're living and the way that they're choosing to live, the world's morality and values that go against the word of God, they're not in fear of anything. The hope of the world is that there is no God. That's the hope of the world. Or that God isn't going to do anything. He's, you know, the Rob Bell that, you know, he's going to love you all into eternity. You all make it. Live however you want to live. So there's no fear, there's no reverence, but there's no dread of judgment. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. Now we know that in Psalm 14, David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. So in Romans chapter 3, Paul quotes this and even expands it a little bit. There are, you know, I think I had talked about the... I can't remember what the name of what it's called. They questioned all churches and what they believe and stuff like that. Barna group. You know, one of the things is how many pastors and those in the church, how many believe that people are generally good. You know, people are good. That's not what the scriptures say. And we need to apply that to our own life, right? When we think, well, I'm a good person. Oh, yeah. How good? How good are you? David would say, man, who is man that you're mindful of him? You know? For he flatters himself in his own eyes. The wicked, this is how the wicked thinks. He thinks that he's okay. He flatters himself in his own eyes. Man, I'll tell you, that's our society today. Self-righteousness, self-promotion, and all of these things. They think that they're doing okay. And it says, when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. And so it's what the wicked thinks. This is how the wicked feels. He finds out his iniquity and he's upset about it, that God would suggest that is a way of, right, that's not the right way to live or anything like that. And he gets, yeah, have you ever noticed that the ones that, and when, you know, the Word of God says that the things that God hates, the things that he calls abomination, same-sex relationships, sacrificing your child. Do not let your child pass over the fire to Molech. You go back to Leviticus, these things, to say that abortion is wrong. Well, we have right. That's choice. That's the right to make a choice. And you're just a hater. Well, no. I'm just telling you what God thinks about it. And I'm going to take a stand on that because I've chosen to live that way in my life. You notice that it's really an expression of their hate for truth and their hate for you're taking a stand for what's right and righteousness. Well, that's not very loving. Oh, actually, it's the most loving thing I can do for you is to tell you that you're in error, that God loves you and he sent his son to die for you so that you won't live that way, so you won't walk in those things. And the haters, I like, you know, that analogy that Satan drinks haterade. That's his favorite drink. Yet, you know, it's interesting. They point the finger and accuse others of doing the very same thing that they're doing. So, I don't hate them. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And they tell you, oh, Jesus never once, go back and look and say, it's okay to live in sin. It's okay to be that way, you know. He never did that. You need to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is among you. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. That's how they speak. And he has ceased to be wise and to do good. That's what he does. You know, Romans, Paul talked about these things in Romans chapter 1. And just a reminder that, you know, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. And that's, you know, what they're struggling, they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's what we see happening all around us today. Unwilling to accept truth. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And he goes on, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. They are unnatural relationships. Same-sex relationships are unnatural. That's hateful. That's not loving. Yes, it is. It's a warning. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of women burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. And not only is it shameful in God's eyes, but in their eyes, it's something to be proud of. Pride. Man is very proud of his sin today. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And he gives the litany of those things that are not fitting, that they devise wickedness. You know, he has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. Goes to bed thinking about the things he did today and what he's going to do tomorrow. And we look at it, and I've heard questions on news and stuff. How can they sleep? How can they sleep? How can they go to sleep with themselves? Thinking the way they think, saying the things that they say, doing the things that they do. Yet they do. because thinking about, you know, how they're going to get over, you know, do wickedly the next day is what's on their mind. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Paul wrote, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor evil. Cling to what is good." That is true love. You know, that's true love. Turning a blind eye is the old analogy. I mean, you know, if you watch somebody about to step off a cliff, are you going to keep your mouth shut? Or are you going to warn them, let them know? Let love be without hypocrisy. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. The song we sang last week, Mac Powell. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And so he says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I mean, this is really talking about the unfailing, immeasurable love of God, the chesed. You know, God is love. He is 100. He is completely love. He is love, and it's shown in his mercy. It's shown in his faithfulness. It's shown in his righteousness. It's also shown in his judgment, in his justice. He says, your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. Your ways are past finding out. You know, God said, he goes, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And the scripture says that God's ways are past finding out. We will never, ever, ever get to the bottom, right? The depth of his love and his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness. Understand. And we want, I get questions that are, to a great extent, impossible. What's it going to be like? I don't know. What's it going to be like when we're with him? I don't know. It's going to be beyond anything we can imagine. Are we going to, you know, be reunited? Sure. We'll be right here. If you want, I think the Lord is going to do for you whatever you want, whatever you need when you get to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, I think when we're in his presence, I don't think anything else is going to matter. You know, I love Beth, but the truth of the matter is, when I get there, I don't know that anything else is going to be on my mind when I'm in his presence other than him. Knowing him, being in his presence. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. You know, David recognizing the shelter that, I mean, you think about David's life running from Saul, running from the enemy when he went into the Philistine land and started playing crazy and got out of there, God protected him there in the cave of Adullam, then protected him from Absalom. And even Jesus, as he looked upon Jerusalem, look, you know, had you known the day of your visitation, you know, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers his chicks under my wings, you know, that idea of protection and security. You know, David recognized that his security was found in God. Where do you find your security? What's your security in? Your IRA? Your Bitcoin investments? I'm going to tell you, that's not secure. Where do you find your security? They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. That word abundantly is watered, that is just saturated, you know, when the idea of being satisfied, your thirst being satisfied, abundantly satisfied, watered with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures, the river of your pleasures. And, you know, so much talk about, you know, rivers of water that will flow, those that drink from Christ's fountain, the fountain that is Christ, from them will, you know, flow rivers of living water, touching other people's lives. We know that in Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river. And that idea of being not only refreshed, but completely satisfied. I tried a lot of other things in life, trying to find satisfaction in, well, tried alcohol, I've tried drugs, tried a lot of different things. None of them satisfied. Wait, what is that stupid commercial now? Something satisfies. Snickers satisfies. I've had a lot of Snickers. And you know what? That drove me into pre-diabetes. Didn't satisfy. When I found satisfaction, when I found true satisfaction was when I surrendered to Jesus Christ and realized and recognized what He had, you know, prepared for my life and what He has prepared for me after this life. There's going to be a river of life. He is the river of life. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. You know, and that I talked about the chesed. It's all about His love, His grace, His mercy. It's how unsearchable He is in His ways. Yet He challenges us to search those things, you know, and not get frustrated because we can't get to the bottom of it. We won't recognize or realize it because right now we see through a glass dimly. But when we see Him face to face, then we'll know. We'll know it all. So those of you that think you know it all, or think you're know-it-alls, you don't know it all. We've had know-it-alls here. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. You know, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." And recognize that, you know, people that point the finger at you, calling you a hater, that you're not loving when you really are. I mean, you know, understand they're mocking God. They are not living in the fear of God. They do not abhor evil. They're clinging to evil. Let him who is taught, or sorry, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. They're sowing to the flesh. You know, they may think that they disagree with God and that they're going to give God, you know, they're going to, I have something to say to God if he's really, you know, when that time comes. Yeah. I would say surrender now, because you will surrender then. You will bow a knee. They're sowing to the flesh and they're going to reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And, you know, we don't need to compromise our position on what is right and what is wrong. You know, they're going to call you a hater. They're going to call you, you're not my judge. Absolutely, I'm not your judge. You know, I'm just trying to let you know that God sent an advocate to stand between you and him because you need it, just like I need it. Wild, wild world we live in right now. Psalm 37 is an acrostic psalm. That is, each section in here is 40 verses, so there will be 20 sets of two verses that start with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The reason that they did that was to help in memorization, to memorize the verses and instruction. Today we say you need to learn your ABCs. It'd be the same thing about acrostic psalms and the use of acrostics for instruction in the Hebrew culture was to learn their ABCs. They set it up so it was easier to learn those things, to learn the Word of God. And so David would use those acrostics often in his psalms. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. It starts out, do not fret. Then verse 7, I believe, do not fret. Verse 8 says, do not fret. How many of you here this afternoon are worriers? This psalm is for you. This is the do not worry psalm. It doesn't say be happy. I'm not going to do that to you. But it's instruction on walking with the Lord and dealing with worry. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Very similar to the Psalm of Asaph. We've looked at that a number of times, and we're going to get to it eventually, where he looked and he almost stumbled. He watched the prosperity of the wicked. And almost got, you know, just had that attitude, if you can't beat them, join them. What's the use? What's the use of serving the Lord and serving when they're not, and it seems they're prospering, they're getting, you know, and we get our eyes on temporal things, right? Temporal satisfaction and what the world says is success and all and those things. And so Asaph was in the same thing. They're getting away with it. It's like God isn't going to do anything to him, you know? It's like God's blessing the wicked and those that are doing wicked things. And he said, I almost stumbled, but I went into the house of the Lord, and the Lord opened my eyes. And David, kind of looking at those things that are going on around him and evildoers in his, you know, while he was alive. It seems the same way today, doesn't it? I mean, most, if you're like me, and I'm staying away from news more and more, but watching the things that are said and the things that they're doing, and really getting frustrated, it's taught me to pray, Lord, don't let them get away with it. And what David is saying is they're not going to get away with it. So even as I'm praying that they don't get away with it, I need to be reminded they're not getting away with it. We need to be reminded, they're not, listen, They're not getting away with it. They may be pulling one over on their fellow man and fellow woman, but they're not pulling one over on God. And David recognized the same thing. Here's a leader looking at those who are doing these things, right? And David failed. David failed at a lot of these things too. But he recognized that he never left God, right? He stumbled, but he never left God. He never left worshiping God and having a heart for God. And the same for us. But yeah, the world thinks that they're you know, pulling one over on everybody. It can be frustrating. It might get a little bit dicey for those who love the Lord and love the Word of God. It might get a little dicey. I'm not going to worry about it. You don't need to worry about it. This is a blip. You know, but our lives in so much of the scripture talk, this is a blip in eternity. This is practice, right, for eternity. That's what this is. And what God has waiting for us is far better than what we're worrying about here, right? They shall soon be cut down like the grass. Just kind of see Clay on the orange bad boy mowing over evildoers and workers of iniquity on the grounds of Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. And wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. So don't. This is the instruction. The first letter. Don't worry. Don't worry about whether they're getting away with it or not getting away with it. They're not getting away with it. God sees it, right? And He knows. It's not for me to worry about or to be frustrated. I mean, yes, we stand against these things. Yes, if we're called to, we may need to say something about what's going on. But don't worry, and then trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't worry, trust in the Lord. He sees all of these things. He has made promises for you and for me. He'll never leave us or forsake us. All things are working together for the good. Those love Him and called according to His purpose. In this world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All of these things. Don't worry. Just commit, you know, trust Him that He knows what He's doing. And we know He knows what He's doing because He's given us His Word and He already told us this is what's going to happen. It's what must happen to justify His coming back and ruling in righteousness. Man is rejecting, you know, the rejection, the world rejecting His righteousness and His truth. Needs to come about so when He returns, He can dispense His justice and judgment in righteousness. So, and that's the whole thing with what Paul wrote. You know, they have no excuse. It's evident. Just as I talked about, we all know right and wrong, and you know we have a choice. So trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Then delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. Now, some of you may go, well, He's not giving me the desire of my heart right now. Well, here's the thing. When we trust in the Lord and we delight ourselves in Him, then we begin to understand what delights Him. And it changes what the desires of, you know, I've realized that, you know, the desires of my heart have changed from when I was living for Bill and now abiding in Him and trusting in Him and having surrendered my life to Him. My desires have changed. And when our desires match what God wants for us, He'll give us the desires of our heart. He gives me the desires, you know, of my heart. What I want has changed, and there's things still, part the old part of Bill, that there's things I want, and he says no, or I don't get them. And that's not because he's not faithful or that he's not trustworthy. It's because my desires aren't lining up for what God wants for me and what he knows is best for me. It's the same thing for all of us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. Basically, I came to do what, and that was the desire of His heart, right? Not my will, but Your will be done, Lord. And we need to change our thinking if we're getting frustrated because we don't think we're getting what we deserve or what we should have and those things. Commit your way to the Lord. So trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, and commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. You know, things going on in the way the world is working today, you're good. Look, if you're not committed, you're committing your way to the Lord and His Word and what He has for your life and stuff like that, you may end up being committed. Period. This world is wacky. And if I would have continued to be committed to my way, I don't even know if I'd be alive right now. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You need to understand how bizarre it is for me to even realize, I mean, just to be up here doing this. Because I found my identity in many different things, whether it was basketball. And I'm not going to tell you how many points I scored anymore because Dr. Dave has chosen. He's the minister of statistics now at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. And so, if you want to know, you just ask Dr. Dave because he's doing that. But I mean, my identity was in basketball. My identity was in the party guy. My identity was in so many different things. And now my identity's in Christ, and understand, this isn't, I wasn't wired for this. You know, people, I was wired for ministry. That's baloney. He shall bring it to pass. This is what He's brought to pass. I just said, all right, Lord, my life is here. This is truthful. That morning when I surrendered, the guys prayed for me. You know, I said, Lord, I my life is Yours. Whatever You want with it. And it's not, that wasn't the first time I probably ever said that, because there were times like hungover and miserable. Oh, Lord, if You just help me to feel better, anybody else do those things, you know? The morning after prayers? But this is honest truth. Evidently, that morning I meant it, because I committed my life to the Lord, and He brought it to pass. This is what He brought to pass. This wasn't my idea. I didn't know that this is what He was going to bring to pass. But He has a plan. He has a plan for you and for each of us. We just need to trust Him and stay committed to Him. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday. You know, so if you're a worrier, don't worry. God's got it under control. He knows what's going on. Here's what you need to do. Trust the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Commit your ways to Him. And these aren't hard things. These are just choices we have to make in our lives on a daily basis, right? Commit. We can do God's thing. Today I can do God's thing, or I can do Bill's thing. Let me tell you, Bill's things, they're fun and a little bit crazy, but they don't always work out so well. God's ways always. And then rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So we can, don't fret, rest in Him. How do we find rest in Him? Well, we don't worry. We trust in the Lord. We commit to His ways. Delight in Him, right? That's how we rest in Him. And then when we truly find rest in Him, then we aren't worrying about those things. That's the whole, and it's such a simple thing. Because he says next, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't worry. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I need, in this day and age, man, this is, and I don't worry so much as I get angry, right? And I think of ways that if I were handling the situation with what's going on in the world the way that I would handle it, and it wouldn't be God's way, which is with long suffering and with patience, right? Everybody, right? Just turn on the news. Every one of you has had as bad of thoughts as I have about certain people. And that's a form of worrying that they're going to get away with it, or you know, that God isn't doing anything, and how can this be? And then God just says, man, don't get all worked up about it. None of it's going to, what they're doing, as I was praying and I was preparing, this is what the Holy Spirit says, and this is for you too. You win, they lose. Unless they give their lives to Jesus Christ. You win. It doesn't look like you're winning. It doesn't look like we're winning, does it? Right, those who want to see righteousness, rightness rule in our society and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like we're winning. But you win. Does that ease your worries a little bit? You win. Own it. Right? And if you're not finding rest in the Lord, it's because you're not, this is simple instruction, right? It's because you're letting these things bother you. You're getting worked up about them. It's okay to take a stand against them saying, this is not right, but God will, He'll right it. He'll make things right. It's not for us to make things right. And so, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the earth, on the Lord, shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. And just, you know, David just kind of contemplating these things, because evidently it got him as worked up as it gets us worked up, right? Look, they lose. They think that they're not getting away with it. I need to be reminded of that. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's Jesus says, right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. That's basically what we're watching today. Those who are in authority and those who want the power and authority are plotting against those who stand for righteousness, God's righteousness, the Word of God. Uncompromising. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Don't be deceived. I say, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. They think they're mocking him. They think they're getting away with it. And it's not that the Lord is, he finds humor in man's efforts, right? To try and get away with these things. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And you know, there's story after story, and you probably have heard from different messages and stuff like that throughout the history, the people that have amassed great wealth but have found, they have, you know, the old U2, still haven't found what I'm looking for. So many die empty. And you don't see any of their great wealth following them into eternity. So, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And we know that Paul said godliness, I think it was Paul. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Yet part of our effort here on earth is to try and get our own great gain of the world and the worldly things and stuff like that. It's just frustrating, ultimately. You know, just a reminder, we probably all do, right? Probably think of something right now that we got that we had to have, that has sat in the box, right? Or in the tool chest, guys. Unused. But we can think that way, and man, it's just, the riches of the Lord are so much greater. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. And I was kind of thinking, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and even with this whole COVID thing and everything else. And people just ask, aren't you worried about it? I said, why am I worried about it? If I'm supposed to die, the Lord knows the number of my days. If I'm supposed to die from this engineered cold, man-engineered cold, then that's how I'm supposed to die. Why get worried? How many, we all hear, right? Is Putin for real? I mean, is anybody worried about what he said? Nuclear option is very real for him. And I know that there are people thinking, well, aren't you worried that, you know, he might shoot one? Why? The Lord knows the days of the upright. That just means I'm with him sooner. You know? If it comes time that I'm far enough away that I can drive and get away from the 50, 60-mile range, if there's anything that blows up, then I'll head that direction. If I can't get away, then I'm going to head right towards it, and just so it happens sooner. Yes, I'm sure I won't have that any time, but you know what I'm saying? Why worry about it? And we pray for him, we pray for those that might be in harm's way, and those that are not upright, those that are not trusting and delighting in the Lord. They need him more than anything today. They're going to perish. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. They take. Sounds like our government. Sounds like most governments. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off, shall be destroyed. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. And we know Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And it'll be health to your spirit, and it'll be health to your psyche, right? We don't worry about these things. Remember, write it down. If you're a worrier, Psalm 40 is yours. You need to read it every once in a while. Be reminded, instructed. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. If anybody knows that truth, David would. Fell a number of times, fell hard. But God lifted him up. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread all these years. Even when things look bleak, those that truly loved him, he's kept his promises. And I believe there are times of lean, probably in our own lives, that we can look back and see that, man, God has seen us through. I have been young and now I'm old. When I was young, so I was young back in the late 60s, early 70s, which to some of you isn't very young or isn't very old or whatever. But we all, David's saying, look, I've been around for a while, and let me tell you, one thing that I know through all the years of walking 10 miles in each direction. There's probably not much snow, but we all have that, right? Looking back and seeing how faithful God has been. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Knowing, and David certainly understanding the promises to the children of Israel, they're going to inherit the land again for sure. God's not done with them. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord shall not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And we know that soon he is going to come for his bride. And then there's going to be 7 years of unbridled judgment, the wrath of God upon the earth. And they're going to be cut off ultimately. And when they're cut off, the way they're going to be cut off is the armies of the nations, those that rejected Christ, are going to come and to battle against him. Christ is going to return. He is going to subdue the nations and the armies, and he is going to set up his own kingdom here on earth. And I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. And even as I'm reading it here, the Lord is reminding me, let him be God, and right? And let him handle those things that are for him to handle. Bill. And he doesn't need my help, which is hard to take. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Lord, he is their strength in the time of trouble. Lord, be our strength in this time. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. What can man do to us, Christian? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? You know, and all indications are that our government is positioning itself to assume authority over all aspects of our lives, what we can say and what we cannot say. You know, I was listening to one, the media, and the online media and stuff like that, that are arguing that they're not, you know, they're shutting up those people that don't say what they think, you know, should be said, the misinformation and all of that, that are arguing that it is a First Amendment right for them to shut up people who are just exercising their First Amendment right. That's how confused and how messed up our government and our society has become. That it's their First Amendment, it's a First Amendment right to shut up other people's First Amendment rights who are exercising their First Amendment rights. Oy vey. And it makes me angry when I hear these things. And they shouldn't get away with this stuff. Frustrated that how could at least 50% of the people not get it? That's what frustrates me more, but it's even probably more than that. But he's going to deliver us from the wicked. I don't know. I believe he's going to protect us here. But we'll see what's going to come. What they're devising, the plans they're devising, because there is somebody going to bed tonight thinking about what they can do to the church, how they can shut up the church and men and women who exemplify truth and champion truth and God's truth, not their relative truth, but the absolute truth that we have here. And David's that guy. I mean, David, so much of his Psalms are, I love your word, I love your law, I love your precepts, I love, and he meditated on those things. And as he did, he's just considering what's going on in the world, which is the same thing that we're all doing, right? That's why it's so relevant. You know, his Psalms are so relevant to us today and the things that we're going through. And I think probably why we're all enjoying them so much and why I only get through two of them at a night instead of three that I planned on, right? So, but I hope that encourages someone and just that if you're worrying, trust the Lord, delight yourself in him, commit your way to him, and find rest in him. Don't worry. He's got it under control. You know, the sooner we're with him, the better. Amen?